Well, good morning or afternoon. I think I'll always say good morning just because it's a habit. I'm glad you made it, and I know there's half of us not here because it is Labor Day, but Winston already touched on what Labor Day is. So the only other thing, there are two things, and Chuck already talked about it, but the Right Now Media, that we have paid for as a church, and we didn't do it because we want to help them as a company. Though we want to help them as a company, we did it because we want to equip you as followers of Christ to know what you believe, why you believe it, and to have uplifting ideas, thoughts, understandings. And so what Right Now Media is, it's basically, raise your hand if you've ever heard of these words, Netflix. Okay, Hulu, okay, Amazon Prime Video, Crunchyroll, PBS, anything like that? Okay, so those are called streaming media, right? Streaming, they stream videos. Right Now Media streams videos. They stream Bible studies. They stream things about the archaeology and the Holy Land and kids shows and all this kind of stuff. So it's free for you. Free. That's amazing, right? Because we want you to be able to have something to grow and learn. So please, if you haven't gotten that invitation, talk to me. I'll send out the invite today because it really is worth it. And then the other thing is, Grandma already mentioned it, or Doris. I have my adopted grandma, so that's what I say. She already mentioned it, but the president said that today is National Day of Prayer for Hurricane Harvey. So I'd like to pray for that. They're not just the people victims in the hurricane, but the kids and I have been learning about the animal victims too. The cowboys and their kids that have gone and rounded up cattle and sheep and horses to rescue them. We got something from eBay. She's going down yesterday, to go rescue some dogs and cats. So it's all this devastation, and the interesting thing is that's what's going to happen as we continue marching towards the end of time. But we believe that God is on the throne, and he always has been on the throne. So yeah, these things happen, but God's still in control. It never changed that. So let's pray for a moment. Yes, ma'am. Okay, let's pray. God, I thank you that you are in control, that Satan wants these bad things to happen. But you're on the other side saying, don't worry, I've got a plan. You know, many people will come to me because of this disaster. Many people will realize they have walked away and return to me. They see the mighty power and realize that there's a mighty God. Please help the families there that are going through tremendous loss. I remember even in Florida how many families are impacted. Please help the agencies and the insurance companies, not to dicker over things, but to be wise and compassionate. I know money can't come from nowhere, but please help people's hearts to open up and give. And as there are so many Christian volunteers out there, even the ones that don't speak, they just do for you. Please help that to make an impact. And please help the people that are going to rescue the animals also to be safe. You know, you created them too. And they're really awesome and teach us so many lessons. So please help them. Thank you that we have the ability to continue to pray here in this country. You know, North Korea, we wouldn't find that. China, we would have to be underground. In the Arab countries, we would have to worry. But here we can have a national day of prayer. Thank you for this country and for allowing us that freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today you can see on my title, it's called Choose Your Own Spiritual Adventure. And I got the idea for it, not from the books, Choose Your Own Adventure books, which I like, where you choose the ending you want, depending on the decision you make. But I got it from one of my relatives who has a band, and the bio was talking about his band. And it said that he's discovering where he is on the faith spectrum. Have you ever heard that? So it's like there's this line, you know, we hear it for the gender spectrum, right? Well, the faith spectrum is this line here, and okay, unbelief and belief, I'm wondering where I fall in between. And so it made me think, I think that that's how we approach Jesus. That's how we approach the Bible all the time. We wonder, where do I fit in this? Do I really fully believe everything, or do I just, say whatever? So where do you fall on the faith spectrum? Think about that as we continue going. Unbelief is on one side, belief is on the other. Where do you fall? Well, back in the Reformation, there were five solas, they called it, which sola was a Latin term, means only or alone. So the first one was sola gratia, grace alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola Christus, Christ alone, sola Deo gloria, glory of God alone, and sola scriptura, scripture alone. So if you wanted to boil down what the fundamentals of belief in Christ are, these are a great way to start. Last week, a lot of godly men and women got together and talked about something. They wrote it up, and it's called the Nashville Statement. Look it up online, but it's basically going back to, this is what the Bible says, and this is why we believe it. So this isn't just something that happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago. We have to continue to do it. So there was a new article written, and it's by the Babylon Bee, which is a Christian satire website. And I like to use this picture. This is from Pixar's Inside Out. It is all the feelings that a person has, all the emotions that a person has. Pixar says we have them in our head, and they help us or don't help us in circumstances. But here, I want to read this article. It's not too long, but these guys have made a new sola, a new alone, and you'll be intrigued by it. Portland, Oregon, an influential group of the nation's top progressive evangelical authors, speakers, and bloggers met Wednesday evening to officially affirm their recently drafted doctrine of sola fides, sources confirmed. The new doctrine, translated by fides alone, formally outlines one of the essentials of modern-day progressive evangelicalism, that one's feelings are the supreme authority in all matters of theology and practice. An alleged draft of the creed, which was leaked to the press Thursday morning, read as follows. The whole counsel of God, concerning all things necessary for his own glory, men's salvation, faith, and life, is either expressly set down in our feels, or our emotions, or by good and necessary consequence, by maybe deduced from our feels, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by scripture or church history or theologian. Quite simply, sola fides means that all spiritual truths only become true once they're filtered through and accepted by our feelings. All the fields, popular author and speaker Jan Henson told reporters after the meeting. Thus, things that make us feel bad, they're wrong. The things that give us all the happy feels, they got to be true and right and good. At least that's how we feel at the moment, she noted. Adding that the group holds to progressive Christianity's traditional position on the infallibility of feelings, Hansen confirmed that feels are the only true and perfect standard, revealing truth from lies and love from intolerance. And we feel so good about Sola feels, so you know it's great. Asked about any pushback they may receive about the new doctrine, Hansen was undaunted, declaring that the group just can't even with the bad feels right now. And I'll interpret it. That means they can't even understand it. They can't even get it. They can't even understand and accept bad feelings. So that's an interesting way of looking at it. Do you subscribe to this, sola feels, and feelings alone? If you do, then all of those don't matter. The faith spectrum you're on, if it's by sola feels, then it's going to be completely doctrine fluid. You're going to be all over the place because you've got no standard. So what do you believe? And why do you believe it? That's really what we're going to... Actually, I'm not even going to answer it today for you. That's what we're going to answer over the next year. We're going to help learn from God what we should believe, how we should live it, and why we should believe it. All of those things are vital. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time in living and being good and doing anything. We're wasting our time if we don't want to learn why we believe it. Well, our passage is found in 1 Peter. It's chapter 3, and it's starting in verse 8. So if you want to look that up in your Bibles, we also have Pew Bibles if you don't, but it's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And while you do that, I'll give you a little of the context. The title tells you who the author is. It's Peter, the Apostle Peter, the one that reprimanded Christ, but that was taken back by him. And he said, "Feed my sheep." Well, Peter, he's writing to the churches that are probably formed after Paul came through the area in modern-day Turkey. So much of the Bible centers around the conflict zones of the Middle East. It's interesting, but that's where God chose to come first. Well, the people to whom Peter was writing were living in troubled times and in dark days. Persecution against them had already begun, and that would only intensify. In fact, 6 million Christians would be killed in that amount of time by various means. Peter reminded them of their heavenly hope and eternal inheritance so that they would be strengthened to persevere in the midst of suffering. Peter sketched what it means to live as a Christian, how believers relate to governing authorities, to cruel masters, and even to unbelieving husbands. Basically, he was saying, how do you live in a pagan world and be a witness for Christ? We can say the same. How do we live in our world and be a witness for the God we believe in? Well, let's read starting in verse number 8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless for those, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Well, did you catch one of the verses that is one that we kind of harp on all the time? But always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Well, sometimes we've missed the first part that says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. And Peter is talking to all believers, not just the ones that are written in this letter, but even to you and me. So that means he wants us to honor Christ as Lord. Well, the interesting thing is when it says, do not fear men, that means don't put any value in worrying about them, but rather realize who the real one you should honor and cherish is. And in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11 through 13, that's where Peter's pulling this from. Isaiah says to King Ahaz, he said that you need to honor God as Lord. You need to put him on the throne of our country. And here, Peter is saying the same thing, but interesting, he's putting Christ's name in there. This is one of the passages that I bet you will run into this next year that shows how Christ is the Lord God. A lot of times we think, okay, well, Christ is this and the Holy Spirit is that and God the Father is that, but we forget that. God is one. So Peter is eloquently saying, okay, Ahaz, he had all these nations coming at him at once, and he could have said, okay, I'm going to unite with you. But Isaiah the prophet said, don't do that. And so Ahaz said, okay, I'll fear God instead of men. And God protected them. So Peter is saying to them, persecution is coming. You can either say you're going to go with the Romans and do what they want, or you say, I'm going to fear God and what he is going to do rather than men. See, interestingly enough, Christians were slandered as haters of humankind. And you want to know why? Because they would not go to pagan festivals and parties. Have you ever not gone to something because it's not Christian or not right? Well, you would be a traitor in the eyes of Rome. Traitors to the state as well, because they called Christ Lord instead of Caesar. And they wanted to worship Christ rather than Caesar, their leader. And they called them immoral because it was rumored that they actually ate flesh and drank blood. So all these things, people were leveling against them, though they were false. So Peter's saying, okay, I know that you're going to be persecuted, but stay firm. Do good rather than evil. Don't repay evil for evil. Then we get to the word that says, always be ready to give an answer. Answer is like a little wishy-washy. It's more defense. So Winston had to do this a lot more when he was in the court. He would have to defend why whatever he said was right, whether it was right or not. I'm sure it was always right, though. So we have this picture of Paul standing before the Roman authorities saying why he believes in the resurrected Christ, why he believes in the ability to be saved through the sacrifice of Christ. But Peter doesn't say, okay, always be ready to give a defense to only those that are in charge, only those that are in government, only those that are of the state. Instead, he says, always be ready to talk to anyone. So then we have, this is a lot more like what Peter is picturing. When someone asks you why you're different, why you believe what you believe, be ready to help them understand it. And later this year, we're going to look at something called a testimony. It's basically your story. What is your story to coming to Christ? How has he changed you? And how are you living now for Christ? That's the testimony in a nutshell. People need to hear about this hope. And so Peter's saying, okay, these hard times are coming, but be ready to stand up for me. Like Annette says, the hurricanes are coming. Be ready to be the volunteers to talk about why Christ's hand and feet are on the ground to help, even in harm's way. And then finally it says, respond in gentleness and respect. Beth Moore says, we need to learn how to give a defense for our belief in Christ without getting defensive. To me, what is liberating is that it's not Ivan's beliefs Because if I'm believing just whatever it is because I say so, there is no ground to it. But if the Bible has said it, then I'm not saying, oh, I'm making this up because I want to be really cruel to you. Or I want to be missing out on something really good. But God said it. And I believe what God said because he's rescued me. So there's an amount of liberty. I don't have to defend God because he's big enough to defend himself. But I can give an answer why I believe what God said. So then what is the reason why we do that? It's because it's better to be persecuted for good than it is for evil. See, Christ, he went to the cross, even though he was a good man. Everyone's going to say he's a good man, but he was still killed. But the problem is that they don't realize that he was resurrected. That's what allows us to actually be changed and believe something. Okay, so how many of you believe something? Okay. 84%. I'm sure you believe that the chair is holding you up, right? Okay, every single one of us has a belief one way or another. Just to help you understand, I have a game. And National Geographic has a game that we have. It's actually a show as well. It's called Brain Games. So I'm going to show you a picture, and I want you to carefully look at this image. How many black dots are in it? Can you count them for me? Yeah, how many black dots? Circular dots. Depends on how you turn your head, that's for sure. Perspective. So I heard an answer. Anyone else have an answer? None. Good job. But why do you believe it? Because your eyes told you so? Watching these brain games, you know, I think our eyes can play tricks on us sometimes. So our eyes might not be the best standard. Okay, let's do your listening now. Pay attention. You ready? How much dirt is there in a hole that measures 2 feet by 3 feet by 4 feet? How much dirt is in a hole that measures 2 feet by 3 feet by 4 feet? None. Man, you guys did good. But do you believe that your hearing worked properly? Do you think that your ears can play tricks on you sometimes? If you ask a husband if he heard what a wife said, even though she was speaking, the husband's still wrong because he didn't hear it. The hearing can play tricks on you. So, man, we're doomed. The eyes and the ears now can play tricks on us. Now let's do logic. Okay, this is the picture for it. Answer these questions out loud, please. What word is spelled S-H-O-P? Okay, I'll say that again. What word is spelled S-H-O-P? Shop. Okay, very good. Even the kids, you guys are probably learning that. S-H-O-P spells shop. Very good. Okay, what do you do when you come to a green light? What do you do when you come to a green light? You go. Okay, so your logic has failed you. So now you got your eyes and your ears and your brain. They have all deceived you. But since we believe, actually we don't, thankfully, the doctrine of sola fides, the doctrine of feelings alone, you know what would have happened? We would have been like, well, that wasn't supposed the way it was. That really isn't true. And you believe whatever you feel because you don't have anything firm and concrete. So here, this is why we want, as a church, to teach you, to discover why you yourself believe what you believe. It's not for us, because it doesn't matter for this building, but it matters for us as individuals, as followers of Christ, to know why we believe it, so we can help others. Well, in a nutshell, the early Christians, they believed simply by faith, with their whole hearts, the whole truths of the Bible. It changed them from the inside out. Their loving and courageous actions towards their families and neighbors and even strangers were just an outpouring of what they believed and loved on the inside. So this year, we're going to look at, what do I believe? What should I do about what I believe? And who am I becoming? And as a church, we are looking at this together. That's the cool thing. So adults, we're going to be looking at the adult book. But downstairs, where the kids are, they're going to be looking at the same exact thing, put in kid language. So if you're wondering as parents, well, how do I teach my kids what the truth is about God, what the truth is about salvation? This is put in kid language so they can understand themselves and tell people. We felt so strongly about it that we said, okay, last year we wanted to learn what the story is of God. The story of God's perspective from the beginning of, well, before time, and how we fit in it as 5 foot to 6 foot humans. But this year, we're looking at why that story was written and what I believe about that story, how I live that story. So last year, I said we look at life from the 6 foot perspective. That's the perspective before and behind you. But this time, what we're doing is looking at moving stuff from our mind 18.7 inches down to our hearts. Some people, it's a little lower, maybe taller. That pathway is what we are most concerned about. Moving from head knowledge to heart knowledge. So I'm not answering why you believe what you believe today. I want you to come every single week. Not because it matters if you hear me or not, but because as a shepherd, I really care about you. And I care about you learning about God so that you're equipped. Until you can make a difference in the world. That's really why we're here. If it wasn't, I would rather the door shut and us sell the building. But we want to do this because we love you and are concerned about helping you live fully for Christ. We aren't being persecuted now, but the time will come when we will. Will we just walk away, or will we say, okay, on this faith spectrum, it's okay for me to say, hey, I want to live with my thumb to my nose at people. I want to do what I want to do, not listen to others. I want to be who I want to be. Or do you say, okay, I believe the God who rescued me. Therefore, I want to learn what he wants me to be. That's really what this whole year is going to be about. Let's pray. God, thank you for allowing us to understand where to go as a church for this next year. And, you know, Satan's going to try to start dancing, even right now, to keep us from coming, to keep us from hearing, reading, growing. But God, I ask you that a revival take place in this church. I've already seen it grow in many ways, becoming more authentic as people. But God, please help that authenticity to even transform into passion for others. Please help us to understand why we believe what we believe. And it's because you've rescued us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you don't mind standing for our benediction. The final quote I have is from the book called Think, Act, and Be, which is the companion to this one. If you want that, let me know. But Randy Frazee says, the journey of belief begins in the head, but it must migrate 12 inches south to the heart to make a difference in our lives. Why? Because we live from our heart. We live consistent with the beliefs embraced in our heart. Well, the benediction is found in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power we are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. First question was, where do you fall on the faith spectrum? Second question is, why do you believe that? Okay, it's really been good that you're here. You're dismissed. I'll see you next week.